Yes, people, what's going on? It is episode 361 of Griff's Brain Dump, and it's me, obviously. How you doing? This isn't a weekly podcast anymore. It happens every 10 days. It's a week's too much commitment for me, so it happens every 10 days. And we're 10 days since the last episode, so here I am. How you doing? Are you good? Are you well? It is Monday, the 29th of April. We're almost in May. This is ridiculous behaviour. I know that's how time works. You move forward through time, you know, from the present into the future. Then your future becomes the present, and that previous present becomes your past. I think you guys are feeling how time works. But time is absolutely flying at a horrendous rate. Ridiculous rate. I think it needs to stop. I don't know who I need to speak to. Which government official? Who's the Minister of Time? This is ridiculous. They're almost in the fifth month of the year. Almost in the fifth month of the year. Which means before I know it, because I'm looking forward to my holiday at the end of May, that means before I know it, it'll be in June, and we'll be halfway through. And then before that, it'll be, you know what I mean? And in summer, fully in summer. And then once you get to September, you just start counting down to the end of the year. It's horrible. It is horrible. Life is flying. Luckily, I have something to show for it, but it's not the point. So there's some people I haven't seen for so long. You know, they'll come up to me like, oh, you had a little one, didn't you? You had another little one. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, how old is he now? It's like, he's over 1 year old now. He's over 1 year old. They're like, oh, what? Really? It's that long since I last saw you. I was like, yeah, it's that long. It's that long. And it's not your fault for not keeping track of my kids aging. Okay? That's none of your business. It's a weird thing to do. Well, one thing you better not do in the future is when you see my kid, go, oh my God, haven't you grown? Don't do that. None of that. None of that nonsense. Because I will hit you in the face with so much sarcasm. You wish you never said it. All right? We don't do the small talk. I don't know what I'm going on about. But no, they always used to make me laugh when people used to see me. I hadn't seen me for years. They'd be like, oh, look how much you've grown. And I'm like, of course I've grown. I'm 11. You last saw me when I was 2. You would hope I've grown. He's like, you probably don't remember me, do you? I was like, of course I don't. Because you just said the last time I saw you, I was 2. And I haven't seen you for 9 years. That probably means you're quite insignificant. So no, I don't have any memory of you. Not sorry about that. What? Where do we go from here? That's what I wish I'd said as an 11-year-old, as a precocious 11-year-old. Instead, I kind of just smiled awkwardly and looked to my mum and said, "Go. Do we need to carry on talking to this person? Can I just go over to a different part of the shop? All right. Can I just go over there, different part of the shop? Thanks. I don't want to talk to your friends anymore. You know what I mean?" Anyway, sorry, I've got something stuck in my tooth. Horrible. Anyway, how you guys been doing? What's been going on in the world? What's going on in my life? My life. What has been going on in my life? My life. I was in Manchester on Thursday. Just gone. That was cool. But then before that, actually, I keep forgetting that. Obviously, I do this pod so infrequently that it's not just 1 week that's passed. A whole weekend has passed. Since then, that weekend, the tour support for Ori Styler, in High Wycombe, if you're local, and in Maidstone, Kent, did Angel as well, same day, got back to North London, gigged in Angel, then gigged in Waltham Abbey on Sunday, and then finished that day with seeing Dave Chappelle at Bush Hall. In Shepherd's Bush, and that was really cool. Really cool to see Dave's probably got some. He's just Dave Chappelle, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm a bit of a fanboy. I think this guy could probably fight into the microphone, but no, you guys just don't get it. We'll get it soon. You guys don't get it yet. Just don't understand. Wait a minute, I need to pause the pod. Someone's called, and we're back. What the hell is I talking about? Wednesday, Dave Chappelle, fight the microphone. Yeah. Sorry, let me go to what that call was. That call, right, So if people know me, know my professional status. I'm a part of a institute, if you will. A lot of professionals got initials after my name and all that good stuff. And part of that, they have to annually, they have to do this, get updates from the members of this institute, where they get an update on what our views are on the economy and how we think it's going and business. Now, the answer is to these questions, I don't know, is my answer to these questions. I don't know. But they're asking questions like, how confident are you that interest rates will come down? Is that very confident, averagely confident, or not very confident? I'm like, averagely confident? And it's like, and these things get published as the business confidence. And this will be fed through the news and the media. Oh, well, you know, experts say they're confident that interest rates go up. Experts are people like me, walking between meetings, going, I don't really have time for this call at the moment. All right, look, I've dodged your call so many times. Let's sit down and do it. Either, I don't know. That's not my role at this company. I don't have access to that information. I haven't looked. You check online if you want. You know, that's how it goes. It's crazy. But it's funny that yeah, when you hear experts say, depending on what field it is, yeah, I could be one of the experts, so be wary. Anyway, so went to see Chappelle, and Chappelle's great. Some, like, nuanced bits, some bits that are just silly. But, yeah, man, one thing I did find so interesting, and I don't want to use his bit, but what do I say? Yeah, what do I say? Because I don't want to trample on his material. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to feature in a special or not. But he was making nuanced points about Israel and Palestine. And what was just interesting was his points were nuanced, very nuanced. But it opened my eyes up to see why you know, people get so nervous about the anti-Semitism, because he even made the point. Okay, he made a nuanced point, but it was just like, as soon as he mentioned one side of the argument, there was a different response. You know what I mean? Like, without treading on the material. So it would say something that was critical of Israel, and it would get like a big kind of like visceral reaction, like cheer. Then it would say something that's critical of, like, the other side, like, you know, of Hamas or Iran, and then it kind of be a bit more muted. And the same way that it'll say something about defending the rights of, like, Palestinians or Muslims, you'll get a big visceral reaction. They make a point about defending the rights of Jewish people, like here in the UK and the US. And again, it just kind of, it was very, not silent, but it was very quiet and down. And it was just like, right, this is what you're having to deal with, both sides. As I said, both sides, man, this debate. But we'll see. I mean, there's peace talks going on in Egypt right now. There's potentially talks of a ceasefire. So we'll see what goes on there. But anyway, that shit's depressing. Let's go to something more interesting, like newsreaders almost dying on screen. Hey, actually, I haven't even finished telling you about my week. Let's talk about me some more. Sorry, rushed off there. No, I'm done. I was done talking about my week. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was my week. Okay, fine. So it's done talking about me. Actually, here's a question, guys. Before I get into world events and then Deirdre. Are any of you guys, men, sexist, but men, because it's probably going to be men. You guys just glorified postman. Personal delivery service for your wives and partners. I'd need to know if I'm just the only one subjected to this. Like, the moment I say I'm about to leave the house, Naomi would be like, can you drop this parcel off at InPost? Are you going past in every shop? Can you drop this off? Can you take this to the post office? Can you do this return for me? It's Vinted. You work near a Next, don't you? Could you collect this from Next and return these? You going past Asda? There's always just something. Always something. Just leave the house. Can you pick this up? If I send you a QR code, can you... I don't want to anymore. Here's the thing, it's never actually that much of an issue. Because I do it so much, two things. I feel I've said this in a pod before. One, I've learnt my wife's mobile number. Because you have to use that sometimes as a, verification code. I've learnt my wife's mobile number. Two, I've learnt the location of all these different parcel services. That even though it's my wife who uses them, she doesn't know where a lot of them are. So she's like, oh, I'll try to go to InPost Dock and it's all full. I was like, why don't you go to the ones that's near the Sainsbury's? She's like, is there one there? I don't know where that one is. I'm like, that's where the biggest one is in town. She's like, I didn't know. Can you take it? I was like, yep, sure. That's what happens, man. I'm sat in the car right now with two parcels from Next that I collected after returning one. That's all I do. Just Next. The InPost and every. Royal Mail, Argos, returns, collections, and I ask no questions. My wife could actually be an international, running international drug cartel, and I am just a mule that I don't even know. I'm like, what's in this? Just kids' clothes. And it's actually just 2 kilos of the finest Colombian nose candy. Know what I mean? High grade leaves. Now I've got no idea. Police will arrest me. I'm like, what are you doing on this day? I said, I don't know. I can't remember. Is this not you in this CCTV footage posted this package? I'm like, yeah, that is me. Okay, did you know that was 50 grand's worth of methamphetamine? So I was like, no, I did not know. What do you think you were posting? I had no idea. I'd never asked my wife. I didn't ask. She just said that the brown package has to go to InPost and the grey one has to go to Evri. That's all I know. You know what I mean? But yeah, I just want to know if any of you guys are glorified drug mules. Anyway, yeah, what's it going in the news? Oh, and talking about my wife, shout her out. Just posted about it. She's featured in an article in Women's Health magazine about black women and IVF. Article's really well written. Very proud of her being a part of that article. She comes across really well. So that's good on her. Good on her. I've let her talk about IVF for once rather than me dominate it. Right, so what's going to talk about? I'm going to talk about Rage Omar. Rage Omar, if you don't know, he's a newsreader on ITV who recently had a stroke live on air, it appears. And the internet have gone, what the hell is wrong with ITV? Why did they not just wrap up the programme as soon as possible? And I found it really, odd that was the response. Well, actually, it's not odd. It's just the illogical, emotional nature of us as human beings, right? And people just going, why did ITV not just cut the broadcast? Why did they make him finish? Why did they make him finish? And here's the thing that happened here is, one, you don't know whether he's told production. So when they're doing the little cut thing and your mic's off, you don't know if he's told production. You don't know if actually production have asked him directly, go, hey, Rag, are you okay, mate? And he's like, yep, fine. Let me just finish the broadcast. I'm good. I don't know if that's what happened. Also, it's hindsight. People are like, oh, look, you can tell he's struggling. I can only tell he's struggling because I know it's in the context of the stroke. If I don't know he's had a stroke, I'm just like, all right, he's just muddled his words a bit. But at the end of the day, unless the man collapses flat out, it's not really much you can do. Don't be alarming, viewers. I just don't think it's the employer's fault. It's weird. Like, I don't back corporations like that. I just can't see how it's their fault. A stroke just comes on. It's different if he's having a stroke before his shift. Like, Raggy, we need you to read the news. You know what I mean? Charlene White has come in to slam dunk. He goes, how about everyone starts posting and reposting a video of a man becoming unwell live on TV? Who does that benefit? Sometimes real life isn't just about upping your engagement figures and upping your likes. You see what I'm talking about? Some people just need to have some class and decorum, innit? She's so right. But who can go, what about ITV? Just it's like, the man had a stroke. He didn't know he was having a stroke. It's like if I was driving the vehicle. I'm a bus driver. And I have a stroke while driving the bus. I have a stroke while driving the bus. And I finished my route. You're now going to blame TfL. No, they don't know I'm having a stroke. They're not doctors. I don't get why it's ITV's fault. I don't get it. Because it's a corporation and we like shouting at corporations because they're big and they're rich and stuff. But sometimes corporations are just people. That's what a corporation is. It's a collective of people. And so we still don't know if the person who's behind the camera or people in the studio go, hey, mate, are you all right? And he's just gone, yeah, I'm fine. Who knows? They might have gone, hey, are you all right? He goes, no, mate, I'm struggling. Can we just end the show? And they go, no, finish the broadcast. He goes, but I'm struggling. Finish the broadcast. They need the news. Antoine Allen, friend of mine online, he's made another good point. He goes, this was the moment news legend and great guy Raga Omar congratulated me about my first News at 10 top story. I wish more people would see these positive moments rather than sharing clips no one would want shared of themselves. See what I mean? Like, just, can we be normal? Stop sharing that shit. It's like when kids get bullied and violated. Right, they get bullied and violated. And what do? We don't share pictures of the perpetrator. We share the same clip of the victim being victimized. And like when I was younger, if I got bullied outside my school, guess who saw that? Me, the bullies, and someone walking past. I never got bullied, by the way. Just put that out there. Shit. And if you got bullied, hey, no shame. I'm just saying I didn't. That's not me. So if you... you got bullied. The only people you saw was the bully, you, and some passers-by, and maybe some other students who were just bystanders. Yeah? And what would happen is some middle-aged person, like, hey, what are you boys doing? And then the kids would just scatter. Fuck, shit, it's an adult, shit. We'll do you tomorrow. That's what would happen. Now... you're getting bullied, someone's filming it. Then some responsible adult either is brave enough to shout, oi, what you doing? And they get told, fuck off. Mind your business, you old bitch. They're just offended, clutch their pearls, walk off. Or they've assessed the situation, go, is it worth me going viral, getting beaten up by some kids? Let me just leave it. That's what I was saying. Just film, film, film. What's Dan Watson saying? Let's see. This was the first item of ITV news last night. Reggae Omar is clearly very unwell. He stumbled over his words and isn't able to properly read. The nurse warns the newsroom 8 minutes later, but the manager keep him air for further 28 minutes. Okay, that's the truth. I mean, I don't like this guy, but if he's what he's saying is true, it's true. But also, he's motivated to big up his news channel, and he doesn't like ITV. So, um, ITV News is the first to report on minor instances at other broadcasters, most notably GB News and Murdoch News. So now it's their turn. Yeah, there we go. So yeah. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I hope the guy's alright anyway. Don't need to go see the video. You've probably already seen it. But anyway, yeah, I just think it's kind of funny, just the pour out. Like I said, I don't know if what Daniel Watson said is true. If it is true, then like I said, I'd go back to what I said. Like, fine. Have a go at the corporation, but he can't. That's an immediate default. Why did they not know he's having a stroke? Because unless, I said, until you were told he was having a stroke, you didn't know he was having a stroke. Fucking hell. Anyway, what else has been going on in the world? I see nothing really in the world. Social media. I saw a very interesting question on social media. And it is this. It is the question. Ready? Are you ready, people? It's a nonsense question. But if a man dates a trans woman, he is not gay. That was the statement that I saw. And that got, obviously, very big reactions. People go, incorrect, he's gay. Incorrect, gay. Incorrect, gay. And through interacting with different people in the post, because my initial reaction was, he's not gay. And then I realised what the difference in my view and other people's view is, what one, using gay as an umbrella term for anything that's not straight. That's what a lot of people do. Oh yeah, she's bi. You mean gay. Anything that's LGBT, they just go gay. So I was like, so not gay. There's my definition of gay is in homosexual is being attracted to someone who's the biological, same biological sex as you. That's a homosexual. So, if a gay biological man was presented either a trans man or a trans woman, would he be attracted to that person? And my answer is no. Whereas a lot of people on the threads are like, yeah, he would. Probably. He's gay. It's like, he's gay, so he likes dudes. He likes cock. He likes real cock. Like, you're straight. Heterosexual. So you like women. Real vagine. That's what you like. Organic vagine. That's what you like. So I'm not sure why the logic would then be that if you're gay, it doesn't matter. And that's my point. People said, nah, that's just gay. I was like, how does that make sense? How does that make sense that they're gay? I said, gay has a very specific meaning. But it's weird that the definition of straight is so narrow for these people, but the definition of gay is just so wide. It's just a big spectrum. I know, I just think that my view is this, right? If you are, it's almost like there's three sexes. I know there's two, but it's three, right? Male, female, and other. And to me, I know you're biologically and genetically male and you transition to a woman, you still remain biologically and genetically male. Your outward presentation is no longer a man, it's a woman. But for me, that's what you are, you're trans. That is just a different thing. Not good, not bad, not better, not worse. It's just a different thing. And the trans woman experience is different to a cisgendered woman's experience. Don't get triggered that I use the word cis. Don't call me cis, just call me a woman. Don't call me cis, just call me a man. Oh, I get it. But in this context, I need to say, I need to differentiate. So don't get triggered, it's fine. You still got the bits you're bored with, it's fine. So, for me, it's just, yeah, it's a different experience, and you're just a different person to me. Like, because, again, there's logic that, oh, if you're a trans woman, you're just a bloke. It's like, would you accept this trans woman in male-only spaces? A lot of men are like, yes, sure, don't care. It's like, yeah, you don't care because it's not a physical danger to you, or you're at a physical advantage. I go flip it round, you accept a trans man in woman only spaces. So that somebody's biologically a woman, they've transitioned to a man, would you be okay with them in female only spaces? And they come like, yeah? Really? So your missus goes, she's going on a hen do. It's just a girls. Girls holiday. Who's going? Bare girls' names. And then just Keith. Keith? You're Keith. I don't know Keith. If you remember my friend Kelly, she transitioned. And he's like, oh. So, there's going to be cock on the holiday. So, yeah. But she's a girl. You said she's a girl. Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, I'm sharing a room with Keith. What? Well, it's just girls. You said Keith's a girl. Born a girl. Keith's a girl. What's your issue? You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that you have to accept them as, you don't have to accept trans people as men. You don't have to accept if they've transitioned. You don't have to accept trans people as women if they transitioned. But you do have to accept that they're definitely not what they transitioned from. For me, logically, they're just clearly not what they transitioned from. What they transitioned to has to be taken into some consideration. Surely. You know what I mean? Just seems, I don't know, just seems ridiculous to me. That's people can't wrap their head around that. Anyway, let's get on to some Dear Deirdre. Let's finish this pod. Ooh, what's Evie saying? Okay. Have you sent any AV checks? What AV? Okay, yeah, I need to add that. Okay, cool. I need to add them to my calendar. Fine. Anyway, let's get on to that. Deirdre. Am I filling the space? Am I filling the space before I find the link? I'm filling the space before I find the link. Woo! Rebound sting. I was so attracted to my new lover, but now I'm realizing it's just a rebound effect. I think we could be great. God damn, I've had that. Because what it is, it's not a rebound. I think rebound's the wrong term for what you're going through after a breakup and you get with someone new. It's not rebound. It's you are just still open. All the emotions, all the muscle memory is relationship. Relationship, deep feelings and relationship. And because whenever I've got like with someone soon after splitting up, it's or start talking, I should say, mad accelerated feelings. I'm looking at them feeling like, yeah, like every stage I was at with the ex, they've just gone straight to that stage in my head. Maybe in a few years I'll get married. Where should we move and have kids? What are you talking about, bro? You ain't even been on a date. You're just texting. In my head, that's what I'm thinking about. And they're like, yeah, the loins want to smash. But the brain and the heart's like, maybe you could love her. And it's like, that's what I'm like, it's too soon. It's too soon. I'm talking to new girls too soon. Leave it. Spend some time on your own, fella. I have to make that such a hard rule in my head. Yeah, that's the rebound one. That's a rebound. It's when you start dating women that aren't your type at all. Because you know you won't catch feelings then. That is rebounding. That's the definition of rebounding to me. Yeah? You're with a certain type of woman. That's a woman you thought you could get married to. You just start dating women you're never getting married to. Not for your type. I just want to smash. And that helps you bounce. Bounce back, rebound. But when you start talking to women that you like, jeez, no, don't do that. But then I've seen people do that, and they end up getting married to the person. But I think that a lot of that is they've carried over. It's like a pre-pack. So I was trying to go very specific about insolvency, but in the pre-pack administration, you basically extract all the good bits out of the business and just roll it over to a new company, a new corporate entity, leaving all the shit bits in the old company. That's kind of what can happen if you meet someone very soon after your relationship ends. You could be like, right, the lying, the passive aggressiveness, occasional bit of violence, shouting, the arguing, and her not liking, well, go watch football with the boys. Leave that all in the old relationship. This new relationship, this bird, she loves football. She doesn't like arguing. And it's like, and I've got all these feelings just to pour into someone else. Go on, let's go for it. I've seen it work out. So, hey, don't listen to me, but most times it doesn't, all right? Anyway, dear Deirdre, because I remember someone I used to work with, they split off the ex and they started seeing someone about 4 weeks after. And I was like, mate, you sure it's not too soon? And he's like, well, he just kind of mumbled his way through it. That was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Oh, they're expecting a child now and they're married. So don't listen to me, people. Listen to your heart. Dear Deirdre, at 64 years old, you'd think I would have known better. I would know better, but I completely humiliated myself by becoming utterly obsessed with the first man I dated after separating from my husband. I was married for 38 years, but my husband and I grew apart, so he suggested we go our different ways. I readily agreed. That was nearly 2 years ago, and I recently met another man who I was really attracted to. He is 65. He told me I was beautiful, and he really liked me too. I felt there was a huge attraction between us, although he made it clear he didn't want a relationship. Old man player. I mean, old man players. What are you really trying to stay single for, though? Is that on the inside of my car or on the outside? Sorry, I saw a bug crawling in the window. I don't have ADHD, people. I just don't want bugs flying around my car. So, anyway. You were trying to stay single for that. Maybe that's just me being a proper desperate person. But I think by a certain age, I ain't really trying to be out here single. Like, old man, what are you trying to do? Trying to wait for
never been an old ass to come along, man. I'm a player, man. I used to be a player. Back in the day, man. This here, young blood. I was a player back in the day, sucker fool. I was getting all the ladies, man.
I don't get it. As an old man, you should be with an old woman who treats you like she can't stand you, but she actually loves you. That's how it should be. Can't remember which pod I heard it on, but they said that they find like retirement homes and hospices. That's how you can tell which men treated their woman well. Because the old man, that's about how old their woman is, she'll be by his bedside every day. She'll make her way to the hospice or wherever he is. Because we're the ones who treated them badly. Maybe the kids will come occasionally, but the wife's not there. That's the thing. Sometimes you just want to be. You think you want to be single, you've got that in your head, needs to be single for that next opportunity. But when you're 65, my guy, it could be over for you soon. That's not me being morbid. Like, just get a grip. Anyway, maybe you're happy being alone. Maybe you don't need anyone. Maybe you generally don't, but I doubt it. You make a deal with a relationship. But the first time we had sex, I got really drunk and it was a disaster. I know. Since then, I've been doing all the chasing, while he seems completely disinterested. I would just love to go back to the beginning and start again. I think we could have been great. So you had terrible drunk sex. Look, we've all been there. I ever told you guys about the time I was making all the promises in the world to a girl when I was at uni? All the things I was going to do to her. Could I get it up? Ha ha ha!
No joke. First and only time. I can't say it's the only time it happened, because there was a second time it happened. Do you know when? The second time I was doing it with her. The redemption. This didn't work. And I was like, no! Young 19-year-old me was like, Darren, you need to do this. This is the one! I don't know what external forces were there, but it was like, this ain't it, my guy. What? Why not? No. But please, no. But I really want to. Every part of me wants to, except for the main bit. I'm telling you, there's been other times I've been drunk, and it's been the other way. Every sensible part of me is like, leave it. And that guy's been like, listen, stand down. What? Stand down. This is a solo mission. I'm taking control. He's like, no, please don't. The eyes are up here. We don't like what we're seeing. The body's just like, nah, mate, we don't. We're not doing this. But then it down there's just gone, follow my lead. It's like, I could still see her. Body's like, why are we walking? Why am I not controlling legs? Dick's just like, we're going. We're here now. We're talking to her. It was the inverse of that with this girl. Every part of me was going, yes, this girl is nice. And we're here. And you've finessed the situation. You've chatted her up. You've charmed her to get her back to yours. And then Dick's gone, I didn't get paid to work this time. I've clocked out. No, but could you just please clock back in? No. I'll check my emails on Monday. But you're replying to this message here. Can you just reply to the message now? No. That's what happened. So yeah, so you had that bad sex. And you can't... Then actually with an ex, the first time was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. She never spoken again. Embarrassing. But we end up speaking again for whatever reason. Managed to redeem it, rescued it. Long relationship came off the back of that. So if he's blanking you, then maybe he's just not a nice guy anyway, because the sex can't be that bad where he's not even talking to you again. But I can understand not being interested in having sex again, but just, you know what I mean? It's the aftercare, guys. I've said this before, you've got to have the aftercare. The aftercare. It's a single lads, might listen to his pod. It's all about the aftercare. This animal was in here. So I had a dirty bug in this car. I don't know what that was, but I think I just got it. Yeah, it's about the aftercare, man. Whether the sex is good or bad, you can't let the woman leave or you leave with her feel like, wait a minute, was I just used? Was that just a violation right there? And then, guys, you can do it one time and never call her back if you want, right? You can do that, but there is, I don't know, I feel like there's like a 48, 72 hour period after. Where if you're not interested after doing the deed, you still have to manage that with, with politeness and manners and courtesy and treat her like a human being. It can't be, as soon as you finish, post up clarity, it's like, all right, so when, how are you getting home? Can't be that savagery, right? You gotta make sure she gets home all right. Offer her to stay. She's come to yours. Offer her to stay. You know what I mean? You make sure she gets home, whether that's a cab, you walk her to the station, all of that. Yeah, all right, you regret it. You don't want to be seen in public with her, but look, you did that last night. That's the least you could do. Risk a bit of banter from being seen by someone. Walk to the station. That's what you should do. Message her, you get home okay. Pay a compliment from the night before. I mean, and then sometimes if you're actually honest before, she knows what it is anyway, so there's no need to think. But then might be a time where, you know, a few days pass, haven't really been talking so much. She'll either get the hint, she won't talk to you, or she'll be like, hey, what's going on? I've noticed you've gone a bit, like, off since we, you know, Saturday nights. And then that's when you've just got to be really complimentary and gentle with the letdown.
Don't be like, your pussy stank. I mean, you can't be like that. No, no, wrong. Try again. Delete that text. Try again. Hey, babe. Yeah, look, I have to admit, I've been a bit off. I've just been really preoccupied and I've just been really busy. I think it's great. Been great and stuff. But, you know, like I said before, it's not really looking for a relationship with anything serious. I mean, I don't want to string you along or anything. You know, one of those ones. It's polite. Can you not do that much of a savage? Can't put a sentence together. So this old dude who's just thrown you to one side, lady. Do what? Forget him. Just forget him. I know it hurts, but forget him. All right? That's it. Just say no. I'm tired of being the people pleaser and being walked all over. How do I start saying no? Hard word to learn. Funny thing is, if you ever had a toddler, you'll know that is a very easy word for them to say. And then we beat it out of them. Whether that's physically or just emotionally, we tell them, no, you do this. You don't comply. Conform. Comply. Conform. Comply. And then they get to 13 or 14. Where they want to conform to all their friends. He's like, well, you're just following your friends because your friends do it. You spend all of their toddler years going, well, you've got to do that because look, all the other kids are doing it. All the other kids are doing it. Look how nicely they're all sitting. Why do you sit nicely like the other kids? Now the other kids want to smoke. The other kids want to do drugs and drink and have sex. And you're like, don't act like the other kids. Why do you want to act like the other kids? Who's got that idea in your head? That's what it is. We want you to be independent, right? But also follow the rules and follow the lines. But not all, but not what everyone else is doing all the time. But follow what they're doing, but not all the time. You know what I mean? You use your discretion, but you're free. So, no, don't use your discretion to do the things that you want and I don't want you to do. No, use your discretion to do the things that I want you to do, but don't do the things that I don't want you to do. What aren't you getting? Go to your room! That is what parenting is, okay? That's Dear G, why do I always put the needs of others before my own? Being a people pleaser is exhausted and makes me miserable. Right, I'm so flipping hot. I'm 32-year-old single man. As far back as I can remember, I've let people walk all over me. It doesn't matter how inconvenient something is or how little I want to do it, I always end up volunteering to just that person. I tell myself just say no, but then I hear I'll do it coming out my mouth. So as a trained psychologist, a trained psychotherapist and a trained psychiatrist, there's no info bar should be right at the bottom of the screen if this was a visual guide. Everything that Darren just said here is made up as fictional for comedy purposes. He's not a trained psychologist. Do not seek any medical advice or any advice. Anything he says in this podcast should not be taken as legitimate medical advice. It's that, right? But as a trained psychologist, psychotherapist, and psychiatrist, something happened in your youth, in your childhood. Stick that, nailed it. No, but usually, though, I wonder what there is the commonality between people pleasers, because my wife is a people pleaser. Imagine this, imagine an impatient people pleaser. That's what my wife is. She will do stuff, and then go, these fucking pricks just walk all over me. I hate them. And while I'm there, while she's doing stuff, go, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Are you sure you want to do that? Why are you doing that? And she's like, I think that's just a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. 6 months later, you're like, bastards. How can they let me do this and not do anything back? Because that is human beings. They're selfish. You got to let them show that they'll do something back first. You can't just keep pouring in. And to be fair, she has improved and change, but the fucked up thing is I don't want her to change completely because it's her essence. She's a nice person. She will help you out. If you're her friend, you're a very lucky person if you have her as a friend, because you've got someone who has your back and will always be there when needed. But it's just like, I'm just like, just wait for a little bit of reciprocity first, then get involved, you know. Oh dear. Let's read this anyway. it's important for me to be kind and I like making other people happy. But recently I noticed a lot of people take advantage of my nature. So what is that? What happens to these people when they're younger? I don't know what it is. It must have been like the first time they put their foot down when they were a kid. The other kid just went away. Never came back. So like, shit, I don't want that to happen again. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe like other people, the first time they put their foot down, the other person just cried in front of them, but then did as they were told. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. For example, I don't drink much and often offer to drive people home after a big night out. But now I'm always the designated driver.
Yep.
But that's a compliment. They think that you're not a rapey person that wouldn't just get in the car with you. Some people have even got grumpy when I go home before they want to. How do I start saying no? Jeez. Just go, look, I'm not a designated driver. Just stay at the beginning of the night. Hey guys, I'm going to shoot off early, so you guys need to make your own arrangements how you're getting home. And if you end up staying late, just go, I'm literally going to shoot off at any moment. Then if you stay right to the end, like, oh, you didn't shoot off. It's like, no. Can I get a lift home with you? No, I still got to go somewhere else. Just lie. 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 It's what I tell my wife. Lie. She's like, but why should I lie? I shouldn't have to lie. I should be able to tell the truth and people accept it. I was like, they don't. So you just lie. That's the only thing you control, what you do. So just lie. I know you shouldn't lie, but fuck it. If people aren't going to be mature enough to accept the truth, then give them lies. Give them what they want. Right, last one. Right, this one, because I don't know if this one's actually going to be funny, so I'm going to go for it and see if I can eke the funny out of it. Money dilemma. I don't enjoy working full-time. No one does. Since my divorce. Okay. But I want to find a provider, but I've had no luck. I'm going to get my Kevin Samuels on. How old are you? How much do you rate yourself? How much do you weigh? Dear Deirdre, where have all the rich men gone? This ain't a fucking serious one, is it? I'm in my 40s and I've been single for 3 years. Since my divorce, I have to work full-time and don't enjoy it at all. So you've not been working in that time. You've completely de-skilled. You're probably just used to talking to the other real housewives or wherever you live, not doing much work. Let's see. I would really like to find a man who can provide me with companionship and financial security. What? Okay. However, I've had no luck and none of the men I've met have had the means to support me. A couple of them wouldn't even pay for my dinner. Is there anything I could do to change this? I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing over here. You just want a guy who's just wealthy. A single man who's wealthy and around your age is either divorced himself and got kids, so he's not really looking to have a trophy wife. And if he is going to have a trophy wife, no offense, darling, he's going to go for something a little bit shinier. You know what I mean? What do you bring to the table? But I feel, as a mature man, if you're dating a mature woman, I'm not talking about porno category mature, where you're like 60 pounds, I'm talking about like you're in your 40s. Your looks, like you haven't said what you do. I just want to be taken care of full time. Are you going to do anything around the house at least? Like I said, a man in his 40s, he should be somewhere in his career. So you should be helping his career along, or at least not hindering it. You should be helping whatever financial aspiration he has, or at least not hindering it. That's what I'm saying. You just sound like a liability. Instead of not even a shiny liability. It makes no sense. What are you playing at? So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, if you've got a dating profile, at least put on there that you can do the Gok 5000. Like, something. Help a brother out. Let him know. What, you know what I mean? You're like, I don't even do Gok 5000. Well, he's just like, you bring enough to the table, darling. There's headache and pain. And it's not good enough. Anyway, people, this is the end of the pod. This is Monday. I'll try to record
more frequently. I'm in Brighton at the weekend, so maybe I'll have some time in the hotel, but I doubt it. I'll probably wake up late, like I usually do, 15 minutes before checkout, opening the door to the, what they call, I don't want to call the flipping chambermaids, what are they called? Housekeeping, in my towel, goes, yeah, just give me 5 minutes, please. I'm already 20 minutes over the checkout time. Yeah, just give me 5 minutes, please. I think that's what's going to happen. So I probably won't have time to do the pod, but hopefully I do. All right, people, that is the end of the pod. Let me get this posted to you guys. I've been a joke. You lot have been great. Peace.